What it do? Happy Black History Month. Ado's History Month. That's right. Ado's History Month. Me and Sharon. No, we ain't Sharon. This is No Cap Nightcap. We ain't lying. We're here to swallow this down before you sleep. And I am Ron Gilmore, your host and friend, until that day I become a warring angel on the side of God. Happy Mardi Gras, baby. People from New Orleans start Mardi Gras almost a full month before. In some cases, a full month. We doing a second life, all y'all still here. And those we lost. Let's go. You know how we do it in the 504. Hashtag Mardi Gras 2021. Where you at? In that 206, baby. No Cap Nightcap presents Church of John 10:16. Sermon, Praying in Vain. Let's hear a little bit from our sponsors first and then into the Church of John 10:16, where the belief is, bring your libations, whatever they might be or they is. Get that ouzo in your tank and let's get to biz. Hallelujah. Bishop Nove up next. Mardi Gras season, and as a gift, my kids and I made a king cake. I will put it on this show's info. If you're looking on YouTube, excuse me, it's at That's So Gilmore. Look us up on YouTube. Remember to like, comment, share, and subscribe. All free. You can do it in 3 seconds. Will you give me 3 seconds, boo? Come on, baby. That's So Gilmore. Show motivation moment. 3G2727 ice cream man. 2G top shelf pineapple super silver haze. 3 silver city ride the spirals. On my mind. How y'all doing today, chat? Please remember to like, comment, share, and subscribe, all of which are free. Whatever platform you enjoy this on, ask about me. I'm a box of unanswerable riddles at times. Be you, you know? Let's get these reparations and change our paradigm. Let's go. Remember, all my chicks could grits and roll a spliff at the same damn time. How y'all doing? I'm starting a 7-day fast today. I will only drink water. Why? I've done this 4 times a year since 2010, I think it was. Maybe actually, it's 2004 or 2005, actually. And it's healed me in ways I can't really apply to words. Apply words to, that is. Anywho, I've been thinking about how we overuse prayer recently, and you know, and I wanted to talk about that today with you guys. How we, you know, overuse it and expect certain things, and sometimes it works, but then when it doesn't, we don't seem to analyze why. Today's message is that my analysis, basically, quick and influenced, of course, I practice what I preach. You hear me? Now, praying for this and that and, you know, all these things we're constantly sending prayers up for, blah, 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 blah. It's overusing prayers. Consistently asking God for things you already have. You are free to use what God has given you, because that means it will shine a light so bright some of the people you know will get sunburned. Your prayer is your sacrifice, and your sacrifice, got diabetes, don't ask for a miracle to continue your debauchery. Sacrifice. Eat these veggies. Stop drinking those sugars. Increase your water. Go for a walk. You feel me? That's like relationships inside of the Eidos family. Relationships between Eidos heels into the plumb line, it should be that would be a prayer. You know, I'm hallelujah, Lord. We ask that you pray and have everybody union, you know, unionize and come together and loving each other. And you know, as far as, you know, all black folks, ADOS black folks, that is, you know what I'm saying, you know, so we can bring about this healing, and we could totally do that. That's up to us. You feel me? I'm understanding prayer for reparations, because that's going to take some unique power. So that is a prayer that we should be having, you know, in regards to that, because we're going to need our strength and togetherness along with some of that extra magic that pulls in allies so that we are able to get things done. But we have the power over these things already. What does it mean to God when you send prayers for things already given? God gave us all a flashlight. Some of us decided to come together like Voltron and turn these lights into a laser. Just tie them all together and have one big beam, you know? You can do that too. We ain't all in the same mind frame, you know, on the same page, so to speak. We confused on multiple levels. Prayers upon prayers upon prayers upon prayers. 400 years. We ain't being ignored. We are being left to figure it out. God be allowing people to get fed up? Sometimes in a moment of desperation, a person can like become a superhuman. You know? Imagine that happening to a large group of people all at once. Perhaps we are all about to pull up for real and hop out. Prayers that have no point or have every point but zero purpose. Your mouth is moving, but nothing's coming out. Type prayers. Or the prayers that I'm saying we need to get rid of because they're twisting things a little bit. How we pray at some point must come into question. What we pray for and the words we use to send to God, those prayers all must come into question. Because you were born into a world of sin, and let me say that again, you were born into a world of sin. You were not born a sinner. You were taught to be one. That is, you were taught to be a sinner by your parents. And your parents' involvement in this society. Society taught your parents, and your parents taught you. So, you were born into a world of sin. Life is sustained in the womb and birthed are so phenomenal and special. Calling a life that's sustained in the womb and given birth to a beautiful creation, calling that a sinner is a rebuke to God and an open door for atrocities. Raising kids to believe they are sinners is a sin. Which brings me back to prayers. You know, I move out the lane sometimes and I have to breathe myself back in. I hope y'all can follow. We must use them. It is our way to communicate with God. So instead of destroying egress with redundant, repetitive, obtuse, and unnecessary prayers, keep it clean and keep it respectful. You know, we often, humans, do as much as necessary to be better than last and hoping for first rather than just always doing our best. God designed us to do our best and allowed us to regulate our will on our own. If God tells you, you can do all things, you know how I am when it comes to like words like that. God tells you, you can do all things. All things are possible with God. Then heal yourself and keep pushing. You know what I'm saying? Heal yourself and keep it pushing. While this praying then, you know, like, how can I say this? Like, I remember I've seen people, you know what I'm saying, go to like these little all-you-can-eat spots, you know what I'm saying? And they sitting there after church on Sunday, you know what I'm saying? You go to a little spot and you sit down and you have breakfast, you know, with everybody. And typically, you know, I've been able to go to places where it was all-you-can-eat, you know, breakfasts and stuff like that. So after church, everybody go there and so they have breakfast stuff there. They have lunch stuff. They have dinner stuff, you know, desserts. They have the whole, not everything you could possibly want. You know what I'm saying? Sodas, iced tea, lemonade, coffee, tea, baby. You know what I'm saying? Everything. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So you go and sit down and you have, you know you got diabetes, but you go sit down and you ask the Lord, bless the food you're about to receive, hallelujah, you know, and make it nourishing for your body. And then you go on a rampage, you know, then you go on a rampage. So why all this praying, then soon after, eat things that kill you? Isn't that tempting God in a way? I mean, like, for real. I mean, I'm about to pray over this ice cream. I'm gonna eat, you know what I'm saying? I'm about to pray over all this candy I'm about to consume, all this chocolate, you know what I'm saying? That's gonna throw off the sugars in my body, you know what I'm saying? Cause my liver to act some kind of way, you know what I'm saying? Fat, you know, get fat on the liver, and that fat then breaks off and blocks other things in your body, which causes your insulin to get all screwed and messed up, you know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, you praying again, asking God to heal you of the diabetes you just caused yourself. You know, in some cases you're born with it, and I know that people are born with it, you know, and they have to go about things a certain way too. But still, you know, you can't tell me that it's okay to eat a whole gallon of ice cream just because it's diet, or to swallow a whole 2-liter bottle of soda just because it's diet. You want a diet liquid? Drink some water. That's what water's for, baby. Drink some water. So, let me get this commercial break in real quick, and I'ma holler at y'all, and I'll hop, skip, and jump. Hold on, baby. Spotlight a band I ran into in Daegu, South Korea back in 2004. I think it was 2003, 2004, right up and down. The name of that band was Linus. And here's a song off their album, A Little Linus Is in All of Us. Song called Timeless and Mine.
Cross my mind. I don't wanna wear this crime, leaving the scene when a heart's been broken. I'm doing fine. The one that got away, you got to be joking. I didn't know that you were mine. Till you cross my mind. And I don't know what it takes when happiness doesn't mean anything. And I don't know what it takes when happiness doesn't mean anything. So I don't wanna hear you cry, playing the fool, it comes so easy. Give me some time, I'll make it up to you. didn't know that you were mine. I didn't know that you were mine until you crossed my mind. And I don't know what it takes when happiness doesn't mean anything. And I don't know what it takes when happiness doesn't mean anything, yeah. So I don't wanna waste your time. I don't wanna waste your time. I don't wanna waste. I don't wanna
I'll say this. If you've been praying for 400 years, those prayers have not been answered. Perhaps you're using the wrong words, or praying the wrong way, or praying when you should be doing. So perhaps God has given you over to that reprobate mind. You know, we both know for sure God has done nothing to stop racism against Native Black Americans, ADOS. I mean, do I need to say that again? God has done nothing to stop racism against Native Black Americans, ADOS. I challenge anyone who believes in prayer, and I'm talking about anybody who believes in prayer, you know, even people who be praying to God in the mighty name of Jesus, everybody, anybody, to show what God has done to stop racism. Since slavery, Black people in the United States have been murdered, raped, family separations, miseducated, experimented on, tricked, bamboozled, you know what I'm saying? What has prayer done to stop that? What has prayer done to stop that? What has prayer done to stop that from happening? This is where the conversation should start. We have 400 years of data proving something is wrong. So wrong, no matter how much Adam and Eve speaks praise to God, 400 years have gone by, and what do we have to show but trickier, more refined racism? Thus allowing a situation to intertwine around us and become dense, fester with us so much that 180 years have passed and no reparations. All the other wronged people have been reparated, even Guam. Got reparations under a Black president who did not believe in reparations specifically for ADOS, Black descendants of slavery. What's going on here? Why are we at the front of the line but last all the damn time? I mean, we never seem to be next, even though we at the front of the line. 48 years old. I came up in the heart of the thickness. I'm a Creole ADOS man out of New Orleans. I came up during the crack era of the 80s. Death and creative life everywhere. Marching in parades for Mardi Gras, Bacchus, and Endymion. Second line in for my partner who got laid to rest all in the same breath. Dropping tears, picking up Zulu coconuts, razor blade belt, buckles, old white women trying to pay a young nigga for sex. Beat it up, animal lovers, I'm sorry that kitty wanted to be abused. $1,000 buttercups, ain't everybody sold dope. But Mardi Gras time was hustle time. You gotta be from the 504, you know what I'm saying? But I have kids now. I have a grandfather who died with property and money, but ignored his seed, ignored the seed he brought into this world, and left them nothing. No land, no real estate, no money, no connections to the engineering inventions. Just a shared name. And stories on how wonderful he was. With pictures on the walls all over Berkeley's campus. We caught up inside of that Eidos thing, you know, where there's nothing passed down. And in my case, one of my grandparents actually had a little something, not much, had a little something to pass down. And guess what? He didn't pass it down to his children. So his children are struggling as well. So then that means that those children will have nothing to pass down to their children just because of the struggle. I mean, which means nothing for me either. But even if he did, I'd be in a group of very few black men receiving an inheritance. My grandmother passed away on my mama's side, same thing. My grandfather passed away on my daddy's side, same thing. My grandmother on my dad's side passed away, same thing. You feel me? I mean, it's real. But who wants to live like that? Have something, everybody around you ain't got nothing. As it stands, I have nothing but love and a small monetary amount of support. Sometimes maybe on a good month type money. So that means possibly I won't be leaving much for mine either, unless I do something drastic to change that situation for myself. Not through prayer. Prayer doesn't fix the stolen wealth. That's what I suffer from. I came up in a country that enslaved my people and kept the money that we built in this country. Reparations would heal that, but I have friends, people who I have marched with, fought alongside for, to help them out. I was still coming out of the jungle and trying to understand what this thing called life was all around me. All those people that I marched and fought alongside with are now simply just not helping us. So prayer, to me, has proven ineffective with dealing with racism anti-blackness, stolen wealth, those sorts of things. Prayer doesn't do anything to fix that. Let me know if you know something different. But this is a message from God of the Old Testament. And that's how I look at this. God from the Old Testament be like, hey, that's yours. Now what you gonna do? Us, we be sitting there like, we answer back like, I guess we gonna wait 100 years. God like, why y'all did that? You know, keep going, keep pushing. You know what I'm saying? You can pray for some strength, but don't be praying for me to be the actual thing that does the work for you. Don't look to me as the magic only. Yes, I can do magical things. Hallelujah. But don't look to me as just the only ingredient in your pot of soup. Because if my magic is the only thing in your pot of soup, then baby, you're going to starve. Because that's an empty damn pot. You heard me? You better get out there and get you a couple of potatoes and some carrots and get you some beef or, you know, some meat or however you want it, you know, some tofu, whatever, however you get down, you know what I'm saying? And get that up in there with some good stock, a nice little broth or whatever. Throw some bay leaf up in there and turn that heat up and start it, you know, getting them flavors to start mixing together a little bit. You can pray over it after it's finished cooking. Thank God for the ability to do that, to have things on the land that you are able to create things for yourself with. God ain't gonna cook it for you. God ain't gonna go pick it out there for you. God ain't gonna put it on the table and cut it out for you, put some butter on the bread for you. God ain't gonna do all of that. You know what I mean? In any case, that's my spiel, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today. I want y'all to tell me what you think about that. You know, remember to like, share, comment, subscribe, all of that good stuff, babe. You know, tell me what you think. Tell me where you at. You know, I am going to end it here. We do have a new section of the show. I'll talk about that in a second. But have a beautiful night. See y'all next Sunday. Peace. This is the comments kind of section, I'll say, for the Church of John 10:16. Tonight we will focus on an awesome woman, an awesome mom, an awesome maker of the most wonderful bombs, my lovely partner Nikki out of St. Croix. Here is her thoughts in response to one of the sermons I did recently.
Hi, this is Nicole, and I am responding to the prompt of substances. Do substances bring us closer to the Creator or God or the universe? And my response to that is that everybody's body is different, and everybody's body responds to all we really have around us. We respond to different plants in different ways. One person might feel really good to wear a scent, and another person might not feel good to wear that same scent. That means these two people's bodies are different. They have a different makeup. They need different things. They want different things. So I think since everyone's body is specifically designed to be receptive to certain plants, then maybe certain plants are specifically designed to be for us. Maybe certain plants are designed to be our allies. And that's what I think. I really can't say what another person should do with a substance or what they shouldn't do. I could only say for myself. So for me, I'm a really small person, and even foods affect me a lot. So I have to be really careful about my intake of certain substances and the amount that I take. So I think it's important to know yourself and know your body and respect what your body wants and what it doesn't want. And you could easily say that going against your body is like going against God or going against the Creator, because you were designed. You didn't design yourself. I mean, your consciousness has a lot to do with your design and who you are, but still, like, there's nothing wrong with you. You're natural. You naturally occur on this planet, just like all the other creatures and plants and insects and elements. You exist within all of this, not apart. So, looks like you get to try whatever there is. If it's poisonous, if it's good, you get to try all of it. I mean, you might die. You might feel sick, you might feel good, you might feel tripped out, who knows? There's so many experiences to have. What kind of experience do you want to have? What do you want to do? How do you want to feel? So, I think you should do what's good for you, always. And that is my response. Thanks for listening. Love you all.
Yeah.